Thank you, praise teams. Thank you for godly parents exercising a little discipline there. As the sign said, all our children, grades 1 through 6, are dismissed for children's church. It is a very good morning, and God has definitely been here already. Last week, we looked at one of the most challenging aspects of leadership, and that's the challenge of decision-making. And many times as a leader, that can be quite difficult indeed. Today, we'll be considering another part of leadership that's also not easy. In fact, today's topic often separates genuine leaders from wannabe leaders. And I can guarantee you that when you take on a role of leadership, whether it's at home or at work or in church or in a community or anywhere else, you will have an opportunity at some point to just throw in the towel. There will be a time when walking away from it all will seem like the most attractive option, and it will be the easiest thing that you could do. And at that point, when you decide, with God's help, to keep on keeping on, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulties, that's when you earn your stripes as a godly leader. In my life, I haven't had a whole ton of success, but with the success that I have had, I can attribute most of it to one principle, and that's the principle of tenacity. And I can also attribute much of the failure that I've had in life to the absence of this leadership quality, to the absence of tenacity. Most of my failures have been the result of my quitting too soon. And it's one thing to be defeated, to be outscored by the other team when that buzzer sounds. But it's quite another thing to give up early and just go home, just because you've fallen behind in the count, or just because the opposition was too great, or just because it took longer than you thought it would to get the results that you were after. A godly leader must be tenacious. What does that mean? I think perhaps it could be summarized in three words, and those three words are direction, determination, and discipline. Direction, determination, and discipline. If you look at every person who has accomplished something great in life, you'll usually see that these three words basically define their work ethic. Direction, determination, discipline. And when you see these qualities, you see them not only in the great leaders of today, but you see them in great leaders throughout history, and you especially see them in the great leaders of the Bible. The Apostle Paul is an outstanding example of this, I think. What did he do? He preached sermons. He planted churches. He saved souls. He made disciples. He wrote books of the Bible. At the same time, though, he faced opposition all along the way. Opposition like sickness and poverty, persecution, abandonment, imprisonment. And he kept on and he kept on and he kept on until he was finally able to say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." What an incredible thing to be able to get to the end of your life and to be able to say anything like that. But that is doable for every person here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about his philosophy of ministry. And today, we're going to focus on the last few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bible with you today, I'd like to ask if you'd turn, please, to that chapter, 1 Corinthians 9. And we'll look at the last four verses, verses 24 through 27. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning with verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we truly thank you so much for this day that you have made. And Father, we thank you for the way in which you call every person here, Father, to be a leader in some setting. Father, we know that there's not a single exception that everyone here today, Father, that you've given them at least one role, Father, where they are called to lead. So Father, we ask for your help as we continue through this series. Father, that you would show us what it means to be godly leaders. Father, we ask especially today that you would show us what it is to be tenacious, to have the biblical tenacity, Father, that you talk about again and again through your word. Father, we thank you for the living example we've seen today through Emily Idu, and Father, for just the blessing that you've allowed her to be. Father, through incredible circumstances, Father, you've given her a tenacious faith. Father, a faith that doesn't always feel like it, the emotions aren't always there, Father, but a faith that is real, that trusts you. Father, we would ask that you would give us all that same tenacity. Father, we look to you. We seek your face. Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are three habits that tenacious leaders practice. And whatever your area of leadership, you'll have success to the extent that you adopt these three habits. So let's look at each one. First of all, the tenacious leader doesn't look back. The tenacious leader does not look back. Jesus says this in Luke 9, verse 62. He says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And what he's saying there is that the Christian life is a forward-looking life. It always looks ahead. It does not look back. Life the Christian life cannot be lived in reverse. Jesus is saying that the Christian life must be lived moving forward. But if you're not careful, if we don't give attention to this, you can waste your life away by looking back. Even as a Christian, you can waste your life by constantly looking back, by constantly reliving past hurts, past pains, past regrets, and past failures. And you can waste your whole life, even as a believer, by constantly thinking, if only, if only, if only. And leaders are especially prone to this because to a large degree, wins and losses, successes and failures rest on your shoulders. To be clear, it is very good for us to learn from our mistakes so that we do not repeat them again and again. But it's a bad idea, is what Jesus is saying here, to wallow in our past mistakes. Let me describe a little bit of how the Apostle Paul approached life. He said this in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. He said, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Corinthians 9, 26, as we've already seen, let's look at it again. He says, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." What's Paul talking about here? In a word, he's talking about focus. He's talking about the focus of a Christian leader looking forward instead of constantly looking backward. Former NFL coach George Allen, he had a sign on his desk, and the sign said this. It said, "Is what I'm doing right now taking me closer to my ultimate goal of winning?" And that's what tenacious leaders ask themselves every day. Am I moving towards the prize, or am I living constantly looking back to the past? The tenacious leader doesn't look back. Let me tell you, one of the most heartbreaking things as a pastor, and this has happened repeatedly, I've had folks in my office many times, and what's happened is there's some past event or events in their life that has absolutely hamstrung them. It's hamstrung them from being able to do any effective ministry. And they'll say things like this. They'll say, "I can't get over what I did. What I did was so wrong, so bad, I don't see how God could possibly use me." And they're basically at a spiritual point of surrender. I can't do it anymore. And you know what? The Bible says that Satan does what? He prowls like who? Prowls like what? Prowls like a lion. He prowls like a lion looking for exactly these kind of opportunities. Satan loves for you to look back on some past mistake and to convince yourself, I'm useless for the kingdom of God. You got to know that when Satan says that, that is a total lie. Not because of anything you've done, by the way. You can't do enough good works to make up for all the bad things you've done. I can't. None of us can. But when you come to Jesus Christ, the Bible says that by his blood, you are made completely cleansed. You are perfect in God's eyes because of Jesus within you. White as snow, the scripture says. And that means that you are completely usable by God. Every person here, you are more than able to be used in God's kingdom. But if you fall into this trap of looking in the past and, oh, that was so painful what was done to me. That was so bad with the thing that I did. That hurt was so deep. You're going to be trapped. And so Jesus is saying through all these verses that you can have victory, that past mistakes don't have to hold you back. Let's move on to the second habit. The second habit that tenacious leaders practice is that the tenacious leader doesn't give up. The tenacious leader does not give up. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, love this verse. It says, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. It's not that good leaders never make mistakes. They certainly do. The difference, however, is they don't use those mistakes as an excuse to quit. What they do is they get back up with God's power and they try again. The poet William Blake said, mistakes are easy. Mistakes are inevitable. But there is no mistake so great as the mistake of not going on. When you fall down, or when life knocks you down, or when life punches you in the mouth, when the battle seems to go on and on and on, that's when you're most likely to quit. And that's when you most need to press a little harder, to push a little farther. It's just so vital to being a tenacious leader. There's a great scene in one of the Rocky movies. I don't know if there's some Rocky fans here. This is one of, all right, I see a few hands. This is one of the later ones. You had to really hang in there. You had to be tenacious. But this is one of the Rocky movies where Sylvester Stallone is talking to his son about getting knocked down and about getting back up. And we have a little video clip today that we'd like to share with you, so please take a look at this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
All right. Nobody does it like Rocky. In that scene, he says, that's how winning is done. That may not be grammatically correct, but in every other sense, in every other measurable way, his statement cannot possibly be more accurate. It's never a question of getting knocked down or even of falling down. These things are inevitable. They're going to happen to each one of us, every person here. It's a question, really, of getting back up. Babe Ruth used to say, you just can't beat a person who never gives up. In other words, a person who won't be stopped can't be stopped. And that's true. Ross Perot, he's a businessman. He was a one-time presidential candidate. He's sort of a feisty guy. Most of his work was done in Dallas, and that's where I grew up, so I heard about him all the time. Very feisty fella. But he knows something about not quitting. After he left the Navy in 1957, he became a salesman for IBM. And he quickly became a top employee. In fact, in 1 year, he met his sales quota for the whole year in just 2 weeks. And he tried to pitch some of his ideas to his supervisors. But for the most part, they just ignored him. They just blew him off. He left IBM in 1962 to found Electronic Data Systems, EDS. located still in Dallas, Texas. And part of this process of starting this new company, he reached out to large corporations to take part of his data processing services. But get this, Perot was refused 77 times before he was given even his first contract. That's tenacity. Here's what he once said. He said, most people give up just about when they're to achieve success. They quit on the 1 yard line. They give up the last minute of the game, 1 foot away from the winning touchdown. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Don't quit until you cross the finish line. That's what tenacious leaders do. They never give up. That first thing that leaders never do, that about not looking back, that's about the past. The second thing we're looking at about tenacious leaders not giving up, that's basically looking at the present. And, you know, maybe your present is really good right now. We're going to get to you in just a minute if that's the case. But maybe your present is really bad right now. I went to, with the men in this church, a lot of the men in this church, I went to that No Regrets conference yesterday, and I was really inspired by some of the talks that I heard. And one of the keynote speakers, his name is Pete Briscoe. He's one of the sons of Stuart Briscoe. And he talked about his life, and he said basically up until 2008, his life was a fairy tale. Everything went perfectly for him. He had a beautiful wife. He had wonderful children. He had an incredible ministry. His ministry grew tenfold over a 10-year span. He and his church had just built a $39 million sanctuary. Things were going great. But he said in 2008, things just started to fall apart, not just in one part of his life, but in every part of his life. He said his marriage in 2008 just began to totally fall apart. His wife approached him and said, I don't even like you anymore. He said, same right back to you. Things were bad. His tears came to his eyes. He started talking about his children. He said that things were great when they were younger, but now that they're teenagers, they're so rebellious, he couldn't even talk about it. It was so painful. And then he talked about his church. Just built this $39 million sanctuary, and he said all his elders, all his deacons were fighting with each other and fighting against the direction that the Lord had led the church. So every area of his life came crashing down. And you know what? Maybe for some of you here, your 2014, your 2015 is just like his 2008. And you're getting kicked in the teeth every direction you turn. And the evil one is going to be telling you, man, you should just quit. You should just cash it in. This is probably because of some moral failure in your life, or you just don't have enough backbone. You should just quit. But please hear what the Lord is saying. And I'm so encouraged by Emily's testimony today. As bad as it may seem, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you're his child, he is always going to be there for you. And cling to Scripture. Romans 8:28 says that for those who love God, for those who've called according to his purpose, those who love him, he can work all things together for good. So no matter how bad it may seem right now, you may not feel like it, but keep holding on to God because he can use it if you'll be tenacious, if you'll hang on to him. All right, let's move on. The third thing, the tenacious leader doesn't sell out. The tenacious leader does not sell out. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says this. He says, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. When we fail, we sometimes struggle with the temptation to quit. But when we succeed, when we are on the other side of things, when success is coming, we sometimes struggle with the temptation to coast, to not give 100%. When we succeed, we face that temptation of selling out. And there's no point in naming names. But we all know examples of this, I think, in the ministry, where a young preacher followed his calling with the very best of intentions, working hard to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. And then success came. A huge congregation, a book deal, a TV ministry. And suddenly, it became all about what? The money. Suddenly, it became all about the money. Success in ministry began to be measured in terms of sales and dollars and market share. And little by little, sin increasingly finds its way into the minister's life. A compromise here, an indulgence there, until finally, it all comes crashing down. It's easy for us to point, I think, at these high-profile cases and go, tisk, tisk, as if we're above such kinds of failure. But if the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, if the Apostle Paul knew that he had the potential to be disqualified from the race after all that he'd done, then where does that leave the rest of us? The tenacious leader never stops paying the price. And one of the things that we all have in common, every one of us here, if we're going to keep growing in the faith, then we need to keep taking many of the same steps that we took when we first came and put our faith in Jesus Christ. Do you remember what that was like? Can you think back, some of you, to the moment when you first received Jesus? I can think back to those days, and you remember how excited you were, how you couldn't get enough of God's word, and you would just hunger and thirst for his word, how you couldn't spend enough time on your knees in prayer, how you look for more and more opportunities to serve. As we experience success in ministry, success in life, those times can come. The human temptation is to just kind of start coasting. Man, I've done so well, I can kind of take it easy. And before you know it, we're not really, really spending time in Scripture. We're not really spending time in prayer. It's a rough downward trend. If you look at athletes, athletes never get to the point where they don't need to stretch before a workout, no matter how high they go. Even the greats still need to get ready for competition. And this never ends. In the same way, Christians never get to the point where the basics of Christianity become unnecessary. Reading the Bible, prayer, worship, building relationships with other Christians, acts of service, in other words, what we call here at Northwest Baptist, worship, grow, serve. These things should never go away. We'll never get to the point where we're no longer required to forgive people, where we're no longer required to love our enemies, where we're no longer required to serve with humility, where we're no longer required to give sacrificially, where we're no longer required to walk obediently. And in this way, living the Christian life is the same way for an old saint as it is for a brand new convert. The basics never change. And tenacious leaders get that. Tenacious leaders understand that. They understand that the Christian life requires the same discipline today that it did 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago. You never reach the place where you can just coast when it comes to your leadership obligations. The tenacious leader does not sell out, even when success seems to make it possible. The tenacious leader runs at full speed until the finish line has been crossed. So, what are we talking about today? We're talking about direction, determination, and discipline. Direction, the first one, direction means that we don't look back, that we embrace the forward-looking posture of Scripture. We don't live in the past. We don't let our past hurts and our past mistakes hold us down. We keep moving forward. Secondly, determination means that we don't give up. Not even when it's easiest to give up. Not even when we're getting kicked in the teeth and everything says, why don't you just quit? Instead, like that seven times verse in Proverbs, we with God's help, we get up again. We don't just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We reach out and say, God, will you take my hand? God, I'm dying. I'm getting kicked in the teeth everywhere I look. God, will you pull me up again? I know that you can. And third, discipline means that we do not sell out. We cross the finish line with the same level of commitment that we had when we first came out of the starting blocks. The successful leader, the godly leader, is tenacious. And with God's help, we can all endeavor to approach this area of leadership with the same kind of tenacity that we've been looking at today.